Well, hello there. Welcome to a new episode of the Liberators Network podcast. I'm your host for today, Christian Verwijs, and today's topic is all about psychological safety and how it improves the effectiveness of your team. But before I begin, let me take a moment to do some housekeeping. The first of which is that Barry and I just returned from 2 weeks of vacation, and we don't know about you, but we're fully rested and ready for a new season of the Liberators. We're going to record new podcasts, we're going to write new blog posts, we actually already have quite a few scheduled, and most importantly, Barry and I are really going to focus on evidence-based work. We think it's very important that as a community we know what scientific research exists to support our work, but we also want to contribute to that research ourselves directly. And you may already know a little bit about this if you follow us on various platforms that we're active on, but we're currently developing the Scrum Team Survey, which is a free tool, or you can use most of its features for free, that you can use with your Scrum team to diagnose how things are going on and where you can improve. And not only do you get very detailed results from the survey, you also get actionable and evidence-based feedback based on your results that are really helpful to bring your team to the next level. We're also using the data we're collecting from the Scrum Team Survey for the purpose of academic research. And all that data is fully anonymized and only on the team level, so you don't have to worry about your personal answers ending up with researchers. But we want to use this data to further our understanding of what makes Scrum Teams effective. And in this episode, we're talking about psychological safety, which is definitely one of those factors. Please enjoy the episode, and if you want to support our work, you can check out patreon.com/liberators. When I was first introduced to the Scrum framework, somewhere between 2007 and 2008, I was struck by how little of the online conversation revolved around the influence of human factors on the success of Scrum teams. This surprised me because I knew from my training as an organizational psychologist that there was a lot to say about human factors. But except for a few pioneers in our industry, only a few people seem to explore group dynamics, motivation, and indeed, psychological safety. Fast forward to 2021, and everything has changed. These days, everyone and their uncle is talking about human factors and how they shape the success of Scrum teams. A simple search on Google for Scrum and psychological safety results in over 1.3 million hits. And while that's great news, I've also noticed skepticism among even highly experienced Scrum practitioners. Much of that seems to spring from a confusion about what psychological safety is and why it matters so much. In this post, we want to talk about specifically what psychological safety is. We will share scientific research in this area and combine it with our own research. And we will also show some practical ways to build psychological safety in your team. I should note that this post was made possible by our patrons. Their financial support makes it possible for us to do the research we need to do to write these posts and to take the time to record a podcast and to share it with the broader community. If you think our work is valuable, then please consider becoming a patron too. You can already start for $1 a month, and it's a great way to help us create more content just like this. And in return for your patronage, you also get a number of benefits in return, like early access to new content, free downloads from our webshop, and a whole bunch of extra additional benefits based on the tier that you select. We're happy with whatever support you have to give us. The science on psychological safety. Amy Edmondson reintroduced the concept of psychological safety in 1999 in a peer-reviewed paper that she published in the Journal of Administrative Science Quarterly. She drew from earlier work by Edgar Schein, who proposed that psychological safety allows people to focus on shared goals over self-protection. Edmondson defines psychological safety as, begin quote, a shared belief held by members of a team that the team is safe for interpersonal risk-taking, end quote. In her study of 51 teams, she found a strong link between psychological safety, efficacy, learning behavior, and performance. And efficacy in this case means the belief that you can do what you set out to do. Following a number of statistical analyses, like regression modeling, she was able to demonstrate that psychological safety is positively associated with team performance. She also found that this effect is mediated by learning behaviors of a team. Now, mediation can be a confusing term, but in this case it means that psychological safety makes it easier for teams to learn effectively, which in turn makes their performance better too. And the inverse of this is also true. So if psychological safety is low, teams are less inclined to learn, or learning is less effective, and that also reduces their performance. So team learning behavior increases team performance, and in turn, team learning behavior is influenced by psychological safety. Now, the initial work done by Edmondson rekindled interest in psychological safety, and it resulted in more studies that investigated its effects on performance. A good review of these studies is available in a review that Edmondson published in 2014. And for anyone who's interested in learning more about this, all the references are in the show notes, so you can go there and click on the transcript to see all the individual references. Now, other researchers connected psychological safety specifically to Scrum teams. For example, Hennel and Rosenkranz in 2021. They studied 13 cases and established that psychological safety has a strong enabling effect on performance through the use of something they call social agile practices. And these practices are things like daily scrums, sprint retrospectives, pair programming, and team building activities. And those social practices in turn also boost psychological safety themselves. And just like Edmondson's findings, we found similar patterns in our own analyses of the data from the Scrum Team Survey, where we studied over 1,500 teams and are currently working on an academic publication with Professor Daniel Russo. We also found that psychological safety contributes very strongly to a climate of continuous improvement, and in turn that makes it easier for teams to be more responsive to their stakeholders, and in turn to make them more satisfied and also to have higher team morale. So psychological safety is definitely very important to Scrum teams and Agile teams. But many people still struggle with psychological safety despite the scientific evidence of its importance. This includes Scrum Masters, managers, and even professional trainers. The skepticism is often expressed in quotes like, "Professionals don't need psychological safety," or, "We are all wearing our big boy pants," or, "Nobody in the military talks about psychological safety either." The gist of all these arguments seems to be that you don't need to invest in psychological safety if you're working with professionals. Barry Overeem and I personally experienced a situation where even a group of professional trainers didn't want to spend time building psychological safety. They rather preferred to jump straight into the matter at hand, which involved a lot of tough decisions that needed to be made. Most of the people in this group had never met before. Although most people in the group recognized the value of psychological safety, many also expressed the belief that professionals should be able to speak their mind, regardless of psychological safety. Fortunately, the startup exercise did take place, and the group was glad it did afterwards. Now, this is just one tiny example of what often happens in the workplace. It often feels like a waste of time, even when everyone knows how important psychological safety is. And I think that part of the problem lies in how often it is unclear what psychological safety is and how to develop it. So what does psychological safety look like in practice? As already discussed, psychological safety is defined by social scientists as a shared belief held by members of a team that the team is safe for interpersonal risk-taking. Now, Amy Edmondson also adds to this in her research that this, quote, "goes beyond interpersonal trust and describes a team climate that is characterized by interpersonal trust and mutual respect in which people are comfortable being themselves." Now, even though that definition is already helpful, it's still quite abstract. So we asked our growing community of patrons, when do you note that there is psychological safety in a team? What is there or what isn't there, and how would an outsider be able to tell? Now, I will give you some of the observations that people in our community shared. The first one is by Christopher Jones, and he writes, "When new members join our team, they are jokingly warned about the openness and frankness of our sprint retrospectives. This sets the tone that you are encouraged to speak your mind. Deanna Grishol shares another one. She says, when people ask for help, ask questions and admit that something isn't ideal. When they discuss things not only in personal chats but in the common chat, and make sure that there is no blaming happening. Another one by Deanna Grishol is, when people accept others who are angry, sad, irritated, and they are given the space to feel those emotions. Robert Huberts writes, it is certainly not there when people project invulnerability and draw up a shield. And finally, Jonathan Dwyer writes, you know there is psychological safety in a team when people say, or you could do this, and not, no, do it this way. So there is active inclusion of other views and people listen to each other. Now what all these examples have in common is that they allude to a team climate where team members know that they can take risks, like proposing a new idea, admitting they don't know something, or disagreeing with someone else, without having to worry about their position in the group. We also asked our patrons what is not psychological safety, or what might look like it from a distance but isn't really. And there were some interesting answers. For example, Robert Huberts writes, this is when you have this illusion of harmony, a lack of conflicts and disagreements. Christopher Jones writes something similar and says, it's when teams are overly positive and you have only feel-good retrospectives where everything is perfect. And Guillaume Delphine says, a desire to sweep disagreements under the rug. Now all these examples illustrate one of the not-so-obvious signs of psychological safety, which is that there is a willingness in the team to engage in interpersonal conflict. If psychological safety is high, it is far more likely for members to take the interpersonal risk of disagreeing with each other, or to raise a difficult topic, or to show a raw emotion in front of each other like anger, disappointment, or sadness, or even to accept an unresolvable difference of opinion and then move on. Now this closely ties psychological safety into our writing on the inevitability of conflicts when you work with other people. For example, we recorded a podcast on the elephant in the room and different styles of conflict navigation. I like to think of psychological safety as the buffer that allows teams to constructively fight. Without psychological safety, fights may become destructive and destroy the foundation of trust that is present within a team. And so they are avoided. But when psychological safety is high, fights can feature intense disagreements while at the same time strengthening the foundation of a team. I personally still remember a disagreement I once had with a colleague over a particular new feature, and how we ended up both raising our voices at each other until my colleague stormed out of the office slamming the door. After giving each other a timeout to blow off steam, we talked things over and reached an agreement and then drank a beer afterward together. This encapsulates the link between psychological and safety and conflicts for me. You can still intensely disagree, but know that at the end of the day, you still respect each other as a person and as a professional. So how do you create psychological safety in practice? Barry Overeem and I have found that it's all about making personal connections early and often. Liberating structures are really helpful there. For example, appreciative interviews is a great way to build psychological safety, even in very large groups. And we often use this at the start of workshops or with new teams to set a positive and appreciative tone. It's also a great way to build connections by letting people share success stories that they experienced. It's always nice to share a success with other people and then hear them repeat your story to more people, which is the core of appreciative interviews. The liberating structure Hertzien respected is also particularly powerful in this regard. It's a structure where people share with one other person a situation where they didn't feel heard, seen, or respected. That's quite personal, and we always make sure that people, they can make it as personal as they want, right? So they don't have to share a big story. It can also be a tiny example, but in this case, everyone is sharing something where they feel vulnerable, and that really helps. In general, as I said, all liberating structures contribute to psychological safety to some extent. You simply give everyone a voice and you create personal connections. So even a liberating structure like One Two For All or impromptu networking already does a great job here. You don't really have to do anything fancy in that regard. Another way to think about psychological safety is offered in the book Think Again by psychologist Adam Grant. He encourages teams to use a scientist mindset when exploring new ideas. The goal here, just like with science, is not to be right or wrong and trump the party line, but to test ideas together and find the best one. That's a good way to keep moving closer towards the truth, and it's a good opportunity to challenge each other in a gentle but clear manner. Now, you may run into situations where certain members damage psychological safety in a team by expressing persistent undesirable behavior. Think personal attacks or open hostility to other people. Individual coaching can be useful to develop more constructive behavior, but in extreme cases, more direct interventions may be necessary to restore a climate of psychological safety, like forming a new team or maybe finding another place for a particular team member that just doesn't fit in with the rest of the team. But the topic of changing team composition or even the decision to remove people from a team is a very difficult topic in itself, so I will not spend time on this in this podcast. And finally, what you can do is you can show leadership by setting an example. One of our patrons, Christopher Jones, writes, "I emphasize that nothing is sacred, and I ask for opinions and feedback wherever I can." And that brings us to the closing words of today. Psychological safety is not the same as working together as harmoniously as possible. In this podcast, we drew from scientific research and defined psychological safety as a team climate where team members can take risks without having to worry about their position in a group. These risks range from trying something new to asking for help, but also to raise difficult topics or take the risk of disagreeing with each other. Contrary to what people sometimes believe, high psychological safety might actually lead to more constructive conflict in a team, and that's great. Good luck building psychological safety in your team, and I hope that this podcast helped you in that regard. And that brings us to the end of today's episode. I hope you learned something new about psychological safety and also the scientific research that's underpinning it. We think it's always important to be aware of scientific evidence for the things we think are important, and psychological safety clearly is one of those. If you like this episode, if you learned something from it, please like it, rate it, or give it a thumbs up on whatever platform you're listening on. It's a great way for other people to also discover about this podcast. In general, if you like our content, you can join us on patreon.com/liberators and support us with a small contribution, which is a great way for us to find more time to create content like this, which we want to make available for free to the entire community. Having said all this, I want to thank you very much for listening, and I hope to see you again for the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.